Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, Surviving the 21st Century, a long, hard look at health and nutrition in our modern world. Joining me to unravel the mysteries are the husband and wife writing and research team of Manny Barling and Ashley Brooks. It's great to talk to you both again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And how has your week been?
Oh, it's Christmas coming up, and my Irish Catholic wife has unloaded the warehouse, and we now have more boxes and furniture, and about three more days, this will look like Christmas Wonderland. So all of you who love Christmas, come over and watch the dolls' arms move and their eyes light up, and even her little snowballs with all these little lights in them. It's just a treasure, and of course, like every lazy male, I'm doing little or nothing, but I'm going to enjoy it.
And of course, the moving animated creatures come from, when I was in Chicago, I would go down and watch the windows in the snow, and I'd get all bundled up to go downtown in Chicago when I was living there, and I would walk the streets and look at the windows and watch all the animated characters. When I came here, it was really tough to California. It was tough. There was no snow. No snow, no animated characters, so I thought, I'm just going to create my own. So poor Manny, like her, has had 20 years of lots of movement, even everything on our tree moves.
Right. Life's tough. She moved to Los Angeles, and it was just me.
And I've been fortunate.
I spent part of the week in what can only be called electrical hell, but luckily I'm a bit of a Luddite. I run a wired telephone, so at least that was still working. Of course, there was a downside. I couldn't call anyone because my phone list was online.
Oh, I know every computer person out there understands that one. It is nothing worse than losing your phone book to a crashed computer, is there?
Oh, it was horrible. But there was some good news, though. Being a Luddite does have its advantages. I wasn't completely dead in the water. I actually do most of my writing on a thing called an Alpha Smart Neo. It's a little battery-operated gizmo. I think it's aimed at school kids. But it has a full-size keyboard. So I just sat on the porch, grumbled, and typed away.
The world's a better place when we're on our porches, no question about it.
That's right. Ashley, I have a bit of a surprise for you. Almost every week, you ask about the Gulf region and what is happening in the recovery effort following the Deep Horizon oil disaster. I don't have a hard update, but I do want to mention one man's efforts, as I believe he deserves credit and recognition. His name is Jamie Michaels. He's a singer-songwriter out of Santa Fe, New Mexico, of all places. And he's just released a CD single. It's titled Black River. It's dedicated to the Gulf region, and all proceeds from sales are being donated to the recovery effort. It's actually from an album that is going to be released in January, his eighth album, I think it is. When the album's released, he's going to continue donating. He's going to donate 10%. Of oil, all profits from the album to the Gulf. I don't believe that Black River has been played on air before, so you and Manny are going to be the first people to get to listen to it. So
it's wonderful.
Does that mean our listeners have to plug their ears?
Well, no, they can listen in as well.
Okay.
This is very, very kind, Simon, and I have continued to worry about the people in Louisiana. And the last time we spoke to Kendra, she was saying how a lot of the fishermen and their families have no money to feed their children and their families, and how they have been they've been just horribly affected. And so this is a wonderful thing, and I'm looking forward to purchasing it. I want to be one of the first to purchase.
Okay, well, here's Black River.
Thank you.
My father's grandfather made his way down to the sea. Sailed halfway around the world from the shores of Italy. With nothing but a faith in how his life would be. He lived in a time when dreams were to be believed. My father's grandfather labored each and every day. Not till the sun kissed the horizon would he put his nets away. Heading for the home they'd built in this new land. Following the stars to the shores of Louisiana. Cast your prayers upon the water when the moonless nights have come. Your home lies far beyond the shadows where the Black River runs. My father's grandfather taught his son all that he knew. Take only what you need, take pride in what you do. To every day becomes a link in what's an everlasting chain. It passes father unto son, and unto son again. Cast your prayers upon the water when the moonless nights have come. Your home lies far beyond the shadows where the Black River runs. My father's grandfather wouldn't recognize this place. I stand here on his shore, tears running down my face. I've got this feeling in my heart between forgiveness and a sin. My children take my trembling hands. Tried to keep rolling in. Cast your prayers upon the water when the moonless nights have come. Your home lies far beyond the shadows where the Black River runs. Cast your prayers upon beyond the shadows, where the Black River runs. Your home lies far beyond the shadows, where the Black River runs.
I do hope you enjoyed that song.
That was beautiful.
Yep.
And Simon, I don't know if you remember the place where Kindred had suggested that people send their donations. And it's, you know, especially at Christmas time, I know people are being hit up all over the world to send money around the world when we still have people in the Gulf that really need help. They need food. They need clothes. They need a Christmas too. And I don't know if you remember that address or not, but maybe you could post it again or something.
I certainly will. And for anyone that wants to get their own copy of Black River, it's only $3. And I think that's a very cheap price.
Only $3?
Yep.
You just made my Christmas list. I think that's going to be my list this year.
Well, where can you get it, Simon? Let's let everybody know.
All right. For those of you that are into iThingies, it is available on iTunes. I personally prefer to have CDs just because the artwork on this particular CD is so good.
So is that your reason for being in the Dark Ages still?
It is. I like things I can hold in my
checking.
Hand.
Why? Because of the iPod?
No, Simon doesn't believe in anything, and I rib him a lot about
it. Oh, okay.
It's
okay, Simon. I am too.
if you want the real thing, you know, something you can hold in your hand with sleeve notes that you can read, it's available from his website. Now, that is jamiemichaels.com, but let me spell it because the spelling is a little unusual. It's jaimemichaels.com.
Ah, that's George Michaels without lipstick, right?
I guess. I am hoping to interview Jamie in the near future. I've got to admit, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I would too. I think that's excellent.
Yep. Okay, back to business. It's Christmas time, and Santa is figuring out who's been naughty and who's been nice. So, Manny, I've got a little pop quiz for you. I hope you don't mind. It's only three questions.
Uh-oh.
All right. Big food. Would that be on the naughty or nice list?
Generally naughty.
Generally naughty. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm being kind. They should have an international red sign with those do not buy from. But, you know, I'm trying to be nice from it's the holidays. When they start making food that Americans can eat, then they'll get off my naughty list.
Okay. How about Big Pharma? Would you rate them naughty or nice?
Oh, very naughty. Very greedy, very naughty.
Okay. Now, this is my third and last question. Doctors selling soy nuts, do you view them as naughty or nice?
Very naughty. Doctors selling anything is very naughty, let alone products like soy nuts. The next thing you know, they'll be selling their own candy bars, like Dr. Jones Magical Chocolate Candy Bar.
Filled with lots of soy.
And soy and high fructose cocktail. They'll call it the chemical chocolate. after Chemical Ali, you know, the famous Iraqi who was executed.
But doctors selling anything, I don't agree with, because there's doctors out there selling organic who are honest doctors who, you know, I really do trust that I think are good guys. But unfortunately, they're thrown in with a muck of other people who are muddying up the waters.
Well, I think there's two types of doctors who sell. Those who have a product they're selling because organized medicine won't sell it, the drugstore won't sell it, the pharmacies, everybody will avoid it because it's not within the framework of Big Pharma. So these doctors are willing to risk their reputation to provide an effective treatment or remedy that's not approved by Big Pharma. I tip my hat to, because they are being courageous and doing something that the doctors won't. The other doctors, and specifically ones like Andrew Weil, who's a professor of medicine in Arizona, who's turned medicine into a cottage industry to reward himself. And to give some idea of why I oppose doctors selling this type of things, I noticed that Dr. Weil put his house up for sale a year ago, and after a year of not being able to find a buyer, he was finally forced to drop his 85-acre mansion with 10 baths and 11 bedrooms, 11,000 square feet, to only $2.5 million out in the desert.
Manny, didn't he say he's non-profit?
Yeah, he says he doesn't make any profit from anything he does. And that's why we're going to highlight some of this conversation about Dr. Weil, because he's a poster boy for doctors who misrepresent things and greedily make money at the expense of his patients. And in fact, Ashley, you looked him up and you looked at some of his stuff. He says he's into integrative medicine. And he had this interesting definition, intelligent combination of conventional and alternative medicine. Wow, sounds like a buzzword that somebody created for Meg Whitman to run for governor of California.
But wait, though. He also says that sickness is a manifestation of evil in the body.
Oh, yes. And, you know, can you imagine the doctor telling you, you're manifesting evil because you're not well today? And, you know, what if it were a drug reaction to Vioxx, which nearly killed me and I have a heart attack? So
By a medical doctor who never bothered to test the medicine and is now in jail.
Right. So here I am, you know, laying in bed with a heart attack because some doctor falsified all his medical records and lied with the help of Big Pharma and created a drug that's killed more than 100,000 people. And I could always go to Dr. Weil and tell me, oh, your heart attack's a manifestation of evil in your body. I mean, who would want to see a doctor that would say that kind of deeply religious, you know, comment to you that people who are really serious about their religion, people who are devoted to their religion, would take so horribly?
I certainly did. I was offended by the comment.
Yeah. So anyway, here's a guy who's preaching alternative medicine. He's selling soy nuts, which brought us to the soy nuts. Of course, the soy nuts he buys from genetically modified factory farms. So
we're assuming that because there's no statement on it that says no GMO.
And it's not organic. Well, we'll look at his ties. So this is a guy tied to the drug industry so deeply and so involved with the people who make these genetically modified products that he's living this multi-million-dollar mansion, but of course he takes no profit from anything he does. So we got a guy who's really a wolf in sheep's clothing, okay? And some of the things he says are amazing. I took this quote off of one of his videos, and it says, quote, "The underlying idea is that you can prevent disease by balancing your body's pH. None of this is true. Furthermore, your body needs absolutely no help in adjusting its pH. Unless you have a serious respiratory or kidney problems, body pH will remain in balance no matter what you eat or drink."
Nothing could be further from the truth.
I could probably produce 100,000 doctors in the United States without even making an effort who would tell me he's just crazy.
There's a reason when they do the blood test that they check the pH. The pH is an important, critical thing with just check the balance of the homeostasis within the body. In fact, we do cover that extensively in our book.
Well, interesting. You're right, Ashley, because I have a high uric acid problem that's caused by my genetic defect that caused Crohn's disease. So based upon this, when my pH gets out of balance from high uric acid, it gets up to 8, 9, 10, or 11. Well, 7 is normal, so I guess that doing something about that doesn't prevent interest.
That's your uric acid, not your pH.
But when your uric acid level goes
right
up, it drags your pH level up with it.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am, you know, with a genetic defect, suffering from gout, arthritis, and other things, because my uric acid's up, my pH level's up, and he's saying, nah, reducing it, you know, it doesn't affect your disease. Well,
but you controlled it with food. We balanced it out through your diet and
well,
food.
Well, that's true, honey. I mean, we found ways, natural enzymes to reduce it. Going organic reduced it. It stopped me from being in a wheelchair and confined to bed. But I guess if I believed in Dr. Weil, he would have said to me, oh, don't worry about your high uric acid. Don't worry about your high pH. It'll balance itself no matter what you eat or drink. Well, I can tell the 79 million Americans suffering from gout and various other forms of arthritis, they're going, yeah, right. But this is a medical doctor, a Harvard graduate, issuing this nonsense, and at the same time saying that he's into alternative medicine and basically homeopathics and all that, and there isn't a doctor that would agree with him. What do you think, Simon? Would you be worried if your pH factor, from what you've now read, were up by to maybe 8 or 9? I think that for some people that's getting close
that's,
to death.
That's your uric acid and not pH level.
Well,
pH is 7.3.
I'm saying your pH level, because the fact is, from everything that I've studied and read, if your pH factor gets up to 8 or 9, you could easily be dead.
Oh, you'd be dead. Yeah.
No. Yeah. The guy is plainly, excuse my French here, talking out of his ass.
Yeah. You know, and to go even farther, he says it's we who determine whether drugs are destructive or whether they're beneficial. It's not any inherent property of drugs. I said, when I read this, I went, my God, does this apply to poisons, heroin, OxyContin? How about LSD? Or worse, prescription Vioxx or Celebrex. Vioxx has killed over 100,000 people alone. If you combine the dead from all those drugs, God, the number's, you know, amazing. So I guess we determine whether they're destructive of the body or not. So for those of you out there from the 60s taking LSD, I guess you've told your body it's good for you.
And didn't you read somewhere he did take LSD?
Well, no, there's some questions about his admissions when he was younger, that when he worked on an Indian reservation, that he loved hallucinogenics and all this other stuff. And, you know, when you look at someone who was working in the late 60s, early 70s on an Indian reservation, that only leaves LSD, peyote, and marijuana. So,
yeah, I was going to say shrooms.
One of them. Or mushrooms. But I don't know that they get magic mushrooms up in the Indian reservation. They do in the California Indian reservations, but not, I'm not sure, in the Midwest. He was, I think, in North or South Dakota.
So, Manny, when you say that Dr. Weil said, it is we who determine, you mean he, the doctor, that determines the drugs are destructive, whether they're beneficial?
No, he meant we as in the patients, the people. And he says it's a state of mind. And he said even placebos are good for you, that if you have a state of mind that a placebo, you know, works, it'll work. So if I hand you a piece of white bread and tell you that it's a magical penicillin substitute, your mind may tell you it works, and
so
your
if
mind
I,
may
if
make
I,
it work.
And if I break out in hives and I start can't breathe anymore because I'm highly allergic to that white bread, I should be able to determine that.
Right, that you're not really allergic.
Oh, okay, because it's a placebo. Okay,
yeah.
I got
right.
It.
And it's just a manifestation that you're being evil.
Oh, yes, right.
I can't get over that one.
I frankly, I think some of his statements border on being criminal. And a lot of doctors, if you look at the Internet, there are a lot of doctors who have criticized him for it. But these same doctors are the ones who say they won't prescribe a drug unless there's a study by a drug company. And Ashy points out, and I really should explain your feelings about our attitude, the proof's in the pudding, about how do you rely on a test for something as simple as, oh, stevia, which has been used for 1,200 years.
Let's take this directly from, there's a book called The Nursing Spectrum Drug Handbook. Now, we have actually quoted this in our book because this was kind of astonishing to me, and it goes to the heart of homeopathy. It says, and I'm going to read this directly, and again, it's in the nursing, it's on herbs and supplements. Information provided in these reflect commonly held. I can't read, honey, because my eyes. I need my big glasses. This one right here.
Well, I can't read either because it's fuzzy. So, You know, once again, my wife has trapped me. She's
okay, here it is.
Nothing.
The information provided in these monographs reflect commonly held assumptions about the action and uses of common herbs. Now, underscore, common herbs and nutritional supplements. Okay, this affects that. However, in many cases, these assumptions haven't been confirmed by clinical trials. Now, this is the one that gets me. Let me know if this gets you. Although herbal remedies have been used for thousands of years on thousands of people, few have undergone well-designed scientific study to determine how they work.
Boy, is that a propaganda piece from Big Pharma?
They're used for thousands of years on thousands of people, and there's no studies.
And
okay,
yet,
I'm a little confused there.
Let's talk about the lovely aloe plant. It's wonderful for sunburn.
Wait a minute. There are no clinical tests on it. I know there's a pause from both of you, and that's how absurd it is.
Right.
Well, you know, how about, you know, people have always said to women and to men that taking cranberry juice cuts out a great deal of bladder infections and
right.
other things for women. Well, I'd like to see the clinical tests that prove that. If this is true, every time someone says, eat this and you feel better.
And guess why it happens, Manny? It alters your pH.
Right.
Puts the pH in, it alters the uric acid, alters the pH, and it puts that back in balance. And that's a natural, organic remedy.
Mm-hmm. I know that there are occasions where, you know, we'll be out shopping and Jan will say, I really, really need to get some cranberry juice. I haven't been, you know, feeling that great. It's a herbal remedy, but it works.
But wait a minute, did you put your hands on your hips and look at Jan and say, but that hasn't been tested by a big pharma company? did you say that to your wife? I mean, really, if you're responsible, you would warn her that cranberry has not been tested.
No, she carries this large walking stick.
Don't tell my wife.
Right? I'm pretty certain I'd end up with a big welt on the side of my head.
You know something interesting, coming back to Dr. Weil for a moment? You know, I listened to a couple doctors claim and look him right in the eye and say he's never done a medical residency. He says, oh, yeah, I did 1 year, but nobody knows where. So here's
he
a
did
guy.
1 year? Residency 1 year?
He claimed that he did, but...
But 1 year?
1 year isn't enough, but the point is he's a Harvard doctor and can't produce where he did his residency. He also has never had hospital privileges until he was criticized 2 years ago by doctors, so the guy's never done hospital work. And he also admits he's never done critical care work. Critical care work means the patient goes from, as I think I'm dying and you better do something
about
it.
Wait a minute. In a residency, I believe that's part of the mandatory program, so... How could he not do critical care work?
Well, that's why I suspect he's never done a residency.
And he admits he's not a mainstream physician, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, and he does admit he's not a mainstream physician. Well, if he's not a mainstream physician, how did he get to where he is? And God, doctors who take this position are usually doctors who do no residency and go directly into teaching because they don't want to be a practicing doctor. So, you know, those that can't give opinions and those that can't go out there and do it. And in his case, he's one of these people who apparently doesn't want to deal with people in critical condition or treat individual patients. So he'd rather sit in the corner and pontificate. So for those
well,
of us...
Well, actually, that was going to be my question. You know, does he actually have patients?
He has started to see patients... But let's understand what those patients are. They're paying him $600 to $700 a year for advice about vitamins and minerals that they should be taking.
On the internet.
Because of all this controversy, the University of Arizona, where he's a professor, gave him privileges to their hospitals, but, and he sees some patients, but nobody knows whether he talks to them about their health or plays golf with them or takes them to his ranch so they can look around at all of his trees and other stuff. But I don't know of any instance where anybody said, oh, gosh, he cured me of anything. In fact, Simon, I have to tell you this story about this gentleman that I think I told you with a video. You can find him on YouTube. I think his name was Steelman. But he's a physical trainer right in Dr. Wild's backyard. And Ash and I laughed because he issued a challenge. He says, Dr. Wild, we're watching you, and what you're saying isn't accurate, and what you do is different than what you say. And he offered a competition where they took 10 sick patients, 5 went to Dr. Wild, 5 went to him, and he guaranteed his homeopathic natural treatments would make these patients better than the ones the 5 Dr. Wild treated. He even offered to take the 5 sickest of the 10 patients and guaranteed he could make them healthier than what Dr. Wild does. It's now 2 years, and Dr. Wild has never responded to him, never answered a telephone call, nor accepted the challenge. He just treats him like he's not there because the truth hurts, and he can't avoid the truth if he participates.
But he's got 2+ million people that are buying vitamins from him and drugstore.com. Isn't he part of drugstore.com?
Oh, yeah. He's a highly paid consultant. Did you know that, Simon? This guy is a shill for Big Pharma. He, despite talking about all these remedies and things that he sells,
and he makes no money on it.
Claims he makes no money on it. The fact is, the guy's a front for Big Pharma, big drug companies, and particularly drugstore.com. And
I'll tell you what, can we, I hate to break in, but I do have a caller on the line, and they're coming in from the Gulf region. Area code 601, do you have a question or comment for us?
I'm just wondering what type of vitamins are they selling?
We don't sell anything, young lady. We basically have written 2 books. One of them is called Arthritis, Inflammation, Gout, Crohn's, IBD, and IBS, and then Manny's Diet and Enzyme Formula. And all our suggestions and formulas are free in the book. And in terms of quality vitamins, we actually give names of the companies we think who manufacture the best vitamins. We are paid nothing. We've asked for nothing. We will accept nothing. I nearly died 13 years ago. I spent several years in and out of a wheelchair and confined to bed. I was told twice I had less than 2 years to live. My wife has survived stage 3 liver and kidney disease.
Liver, kidney, pancreatic, spleen.
And our interests are trying to help other people like us who got no information from our doctors, little or no help, and in some cases, like my doctor prescribed Vioxx for me, and when I told him I had problems with it, told me I was a sissy, and a short time later, I nearly died of a heart attack.
And I kept saying, my husband's falling over. He's falling down. He'll take this, and he's falling down. I don't know if this is so good for him. And my husband's a sissy.
Right.
Oh.
So our feeling is we don't want to sell you anything. We want you to...
We're selling the books.
We're selling our
books. Because it has information in it.
But, you know, he's selling 2 million people drugs.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry to hear you went through all of that, and I'm glad you were able to overcome it.
It took a lot of years of research, and I'm a registered nurse, and my husband's attorney, and he had worked with doctors and in hospitals, and fortunately for both of us, with our combined educations, we were able to go through reading over 3,000 research articles and pulling through, making sure that the Dr. Andrew Weil, who of the doctors who are really not really who they say they are, finding the true scientific data so that we can pass that on to you, to the public, and to other people to help people get well.
Yeah.
That's our whole goal.
Our goal is to help you read labels, find out what's really good for you and what's junk. And they're not always made by the same people. I buy my vitamins and minerals from maybe 6 or 7 different manufacturers. One may make a great vitamin A. Another may make a great vitamin C. And we try to help people pick the ones that are best for you. And again, we're not paid. We receive nothing from anyone. We're just concerned about the health of our nation. And because of our poor health, we got up one day, and frankly, became somewhat zealous about the way that not only Big Pharma, which is all the big drug companies, but all the food manufacturers are treating Americans. They put nothing but chemicals and garbage in our food.
They really do.
Yeah, and you, I'm sure if you go to your pantry when you get off the phone and close your eyes and pick a package and pull it out and read all the ingredients in it, it'll horrify you. Have you ever tried that?
Yes, I have. I'm very conscious of what I eat.
I'll bet you it's disturbing to you, isn't it?
Yes, it's a few things that I eat.
Yeah, you know, for Thanksgiving, we looked at some of the frozen dinners, and we found Hungry Man Turkey Dinner had 160 ingredients in it. Can you imagine that? I bet when you cook, you could make that same dinner with a half a dozen ingredients and take ten times better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you find that true, that the food and the packaged food is far tastes worse than what you can cook at home?
Right, yes.
Yeah, so did we.
So you called today, or have you been sick?
No. Actually, I'm just going through some shows, and I saw yours, and I decided to listen in.
Well, we're glad you joined us today. That was very nice of you. You haven't been sick because you're actually reading labels, right? And are you eating organic?
I try to eat organic. You know, we have an organic store here.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, we do. So there's a lot of things I pass up because of the chemicals and the colors and things like that you put in your body, and your body tries to fight and you try to digest, and then you have side effects and all that stuff.
I agree. So, do you feel better because you've done this?
Yeah, I feel a whole lot better.
Oh, we're happy to hear that. And that's our goal. Our goal is to talk to more people like you that have walked down this road as we have, looking at labels and buying better food, and finding that they feel better. So all our other listeners who aren't really sure they want to make this change, hear people like you and find that it does really work, doesn't it?
Right. Like the color red, you know, that they put in sodas and different foods, and you have a headache afterwards, and you don't know what's causing the headache. So you go take something to cover up that symptom. We need to find out, what am I putting in my body that I need to take out?
You are a smart lady. That's exactly, that is exactly right.
Yeah.
And do you know that the dyes, this was confusing me, and we had a medical doctor, Dr. Dantini, who's from Florida, who was telling us about, I said, you know, I don't understand. The dyes of yellow and red dyes have all been banned. They're carcinogenic. They cause cancer. And FDA had canceled them and said, you're not allowed to use this. But the food industry went in and said, you know, we have, you know, all this dye, we have to use it up. So the FDA said, okay, when you use it up, then you have to stop using it. So they stockpiled it, and they have over 40 years more of red and yellow dye, who knows how much more, until they can lobby in again getting the red dye, which is a cancer. It causes cancer.
Oh. Well, yeah, there's a lot of things that causes cancer in humans.
Yes.
So you just have to be aware, you know, kind of join the group, join your group, and listen in and talk about those things and your alternative and start doing those things.
That's exactly right. And it's and for me, it's been telling one person who tells another. And because you're blessed with this knowledge and you know this knowledge because you've seen it work on your body, I imagine you're telling other people. Are you telling people in your church group?
Yes. I tell family members, church members. Actually, I've just started with the healthy snack food line, which is dried apples instead of potato chips, junk food, and juices and cherries and almonds, things like that. And you can actually start a business by selling those products, and you eat healthy, and you get your community to start eating healthy, and you build a business as well.
So what general area do you live in?
I live in Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Wow. So, Simon, there's someone in Mississippi besides you, and they have an organic store near you. So you need to let Simon know on his website where he can go find some organic food, because Simon complains that there's none in his general area by Picayune.
Oh. Well, it's called the rainbow.
And actually, I took a walk to my
local butcher's store yesterday, which and they definitely are organic-ish.
They're as close as you're going to get, Simon.
Yeah. That's right. And I actually, I came home and I said to Jen, "Well, I'm full now. I mean, you can't walk into this place without them giving you samples of everything known to man. And it's not those measly little things on skewers. You know, they give you great big slabs of salami and ham."
No, I think we'll all agree those are not good for you. Do you know that there was a couple million pounds of salami recalled a year or so ago because the pepper on it, which was genetically modified, had salmonella? Can you imagine turning out pepper with salmonella?
Wow.
That is awful.
In fact, that's one of the problems with a lot of the spices. I want to get back to your packaged goods, but since we talked about pepper first, let me talk about pepper. We've talked on some of our other shows, which do you know this or not, about how spices in Europe, our spices are actually rejected and they will not accept our spices because they're genetically modified and they're filled with pesticides. So every time somebody takes a pepper shaker and grinds that, they're grinding pesticides and some MSG and other chemicals into their food.
Oh.
Did you know I probably ate pepper
a long time ago.
Pardon?
Because I didn't know what was in it. You know, your little black fine things, and I'm thinking, you know, you're sprinkling this little black fine stuff on your food, but what is it?
Exactly.
I agree.
It's mystery. They want to keep you in mystery, and they don't care as long as you're spending the money, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you're talking about selling and people starting their own marketing plan with selling these, are these organic packages?
Yes, they're organic. Everything's organic.
You know, when you are finished with the show, you could send, or maybe now send over to Simon, and maybe later he can post it or something where people can purchase some of these, because like Simon saying he can't buy anything organic, then he would know where to purchase it.
Okay, that's fine. It's on the internet. Whenever you get ready for me to give the information, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
Oh, sure. Give us your website address.
Okay, you can actually put in AAA, the number one agent, in your search box, and the link will click up. It's called Snack Healthy, and then you can click on that link, and it'll take you to the website.
Okay, all right. We'll certainly do that after the program. Let's get back to our good friend Andrew Wheel.
Well, let's stay on the same spot about drugs and stuff about him and talk about drugstore.com, unless you have another area you want to go.
No, actually, drugstore.com, you had just mentioned. Do you want to tell us a little more about it?
Yeah, it turns out that a lot of people are trying to figure out what his connections were. And as happens so often in my former profession, law, somebody sues somebody, and it all comes out in the wash. Well, Case Watch, which is a service for lawyers and other people, reported from legal records that Brownstein, Hyatt, and Farmer filed a lawsuit on behalf of drugstore.com against Andrew Weil. If you want to research, it's called drugstore.com, Inc. versus Andrew Weil and Weil Lifestyle. And they sued him for breach of contract. So lo and behold, it turns out he has a contract with drugstore.com. So according to the lawsuit, they paid him $1.6 million in royalty and sales commissions between September 2003 and 2008. And I wonder how he can preach alternative medicine and homeopathic remedies when he's paid by drugstore.com. It seems that over a period of time, he collected around $12 million. Ashley, does that bother you that doctors pay $12 million by drug companies to prescribe drugs or to recommend drugs?
The biggest concern, not absolutely concerns you, but he says up front, "I'm sitting on the fence. I'm trying to do both. I'm trying to incorporate, you know, I'm trying to integrate the two professions," which I guess you'll get into later. But the problem I have is when he says, I'm selling a lot of nutrition, I'm selling a lot of vitamins, yet he's saying your body will balance itself out. Right there is a contrast and or a contradiction. Then he's saying, I'm selling vitamins. Now, vitamins that are synthetic that are available at your local drugstore, local grocery store, which sell for really dirt cheap, they are pretty much synthetic, most of them. And the synthetic vitamins do not, your body doesn't accept it. So you're only getting 50% of what you need off that vitamin. Your body treats it like a toxic waste. So you're taking in a vitamin, and I don't know what kind of vitamins he's selling. And it, again, it's hard to figure out, and I don't like gray areas. I either like the black and white of seeing, if you're honest about it, put it out there.
Yeah, I think that is a major problem. And basically, he became the vitamin advisor, which he does on his website. And he was supposedly to send out this online questionnaire, which I find among his websites, to personalize products based upon your specific health concerns.
In that whole situation, it wasn't necessarily what he did, but the process of how he did it.
Okay, someone's breaking up here.
Upset a lot of people. He did it in a way that upset a lot of people.
Yeah, I think you're saying that what he did upset a lot of people. Simon, are you able to get him back on?
I don't know who that was, where they came from even. I thought it was you breaking up.
No, it really wasn't. It was another voice from some other place. And if that person's been cut off the line, please call back in and let us know what your feelings are. And yes, I agree. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I don't understand that, because I'm not seeing anything on the switchboard.
Let's come back to what we're talking about. He claimed to be a vitamin advisor, but how can he be an objective advisor and help people if you're being paid millions of dollars?
And the other question, this is another problem I have. We talked about RDAs, and when we were talking about the RDA DRIs, it was the people who were contributing. You know, M&Ms are contributing to the fund of putting your daily recommended dose together. So does that mean that since he's sitting on the fence and doing both, he is recommending the vitamins over the line to people of a dose and saying this is what you need to take based on the daily recommended dose that is through funding by the M&M companies
and other industry people.
So, I mean, it's hard to say. How do you advise this?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm bothered by something else, and probably you too, Simon, because the purpose of a vitamin advisor is to stir people to buy products, and he's stirring vulnerable patients who are seeking alternative remedies to buy drugstore vitamins and minerals, drugstore.com's vitamins and minerals.
Which are probably synthetic.
Right.
And at a time when people are vulnerable, their immune systems are up. They are sick. They are looking for answers. And there are beautiful alternative doctors out there and medical doctors as well who actually are sincere in their work.
Yeah, and this what punctuates, it's a quote from the lawsuit. This is a quote. Quote, pursuant to the agreement, while Livestein, while and while himself, agreed to promote various aspects of the party's business relationship and to cooperate with drugstore.com's operation and marketing of its online stores and services. In simple words, he's just a common salesman selling drugs. That's not the actions of a doctor.
No, I mean, the key word in that is marketing. I mean,
right.
Doctors
well,
don't market.
Right, and the key word, too, is according to the lawsuit, drugstore.com admits under oath in the lawsuit they paid Dr. Weil more than $3.9 million in monthly sales commissions and royalty. They also paid him a monthly honorarium, which was several hundred thousand dollars. You're talking about 5 years. I mean, the estimate is he earned over $12 million from 2003 to 2008, shilling for Big Pharma, drugstore.com, and selling these kind of drugs, supposedly as a vitamin advisor. And yet, go ahead.
Do we know anything about drugstore.com? I mean, who owns them? Are they part of Big Pharma, or are they just part of the big internet drug thing?
Well, they're the one and the same. How could they function without agreements with big pharma? You can't
stop those drugs. I did not know at the time. I didn't know that Dr. Will was connected, and you can. They have a pharmacist online that will. You can order your prescriptions from. They have a area that you can buy. Say Dristan is banned, and you can only buy two of them at a time because the meth labs, were tearing them apart, so they got banned from the local drugstores. You can go in there and buy as much as you want. You know, I mean, that's just a fine example of it. So, I mean, there is things that, that drugstore.com, they don't just sell vitamins.
Mm-hmm. Well, drugstore.com is the best in their division.
Pardon?
So, I think we all have to recognize this. Even with the
we had that broken
some of the guys that they don't have it.
I'm really
okay.
Sorry. We can't hear you.
Okay. I do have a caller. It might be the person. Let me bring them on and find out. Caller from area code 937. You're on the air. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Yeah, my name's Chris, and I wasn't that caller before. I was just listening online and thought I'd call in and listen.
Well, listen away.
Thank you for joining us.
It sounds like this guy is pretty much a well-connected drug dealer, you know. It sounds like.
Yeah, the only difference between him and some of the other drug dealers is the FDA has given and the AMA has given him a license to do this.
And what's very disturbing to me is we had written a soy comment and blog, and he commented that he took all the scientific data and said, this doesn't exist, there's no scientific data. And when we started researching him, it was frightening because he was one of the many type of scientific, he would take science and throw it out so he could sell his own soy nuts. And it's such a harmful thing that's happening to people by allowing a medical doctor to use his license and to propagate things and teach people the wrong thing. I mean, soy is one of, there's 12 million people a year that are sick from soy. Soy causes thyroid cancer. Soy causes immune deficiencies. It causes problems with children and babies in vitro. And it's, so for Andrew Weil to say, I'm both an alternative and a medical doctor, it was very, very disturbing to me because it goes to the heart of medicine, which is we're human beings and there's a way our body works and functions. And to say, you know, it's more important for me to make money than it is to actually tell you the truth. It's very sad, and I think people like Andrew Weil need to be exposed because he has over 2 million people coming to his internet site monthly. 2 million people getting advice from this man.
Scary.
Yes, it is scary. Yeah, but and then again, you have to ask yourself, why was he responding to a blog written by us? Well, in our feeling is that the only reason he would do that is he was asked to do so by one of his corporate partners. Because, first of all, why would he notice this if this guy's really a professor at working every day at the University of Arizona? He doesn't have time for us, but he made time for us. And I'm inherently suspicious of people who suddenly out of nowhere make time for us. You know,
so am I.
Thank you, Simon.
and, you know, for our listener, what bothers me most is, you know, we took his own material. This is a quote from Dr. Weil. I don't get money from the vitamins that I make. My after-tax profits go to a foundation that supports integrative medicine.
Integrative
medicine. Sorry, Andy, thank you.
Yes.
By the way, that's what wives are for, to
yes,
correct us all.
That's right. 20 years of rehearsal, Hen.
But the problem is the foundation is his. He owns it, and he doesn't report any of its activities, and he doesn't make its financial statements public. And yet he claims in interviews, I've always voiced the opinion that there should be a clear separation between a healthcare professional, professional's recommendations, and the potential to profit from these recommendations. If that's true, why is he accepting $12 million for giving advice to buy their drugs? I mean, what he says and what he does are two different things. And I judge people by what they do, not what they say. And if our listener's still on the phone, I would ask him, doesn't it bother you that someone makes those kind of statements while they're accepting up to $12 million?
Listener, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm with you. Sorry, yeah, it does. It does bother you. It bothers me and should bother everyone else, you know, in the medical industry and if you're a patient or whatever.
Well, you know, you're sitting there as a patient and you want medical help and you want advice and you want some integrity and you want some objectivity.
And prevention. So even if you're not sick, you want prevention. You're doing things to keep your body healthy.
And what's even funny, Simon, I discovered this with a little research. It turns out the only contributions they can find from his so-called charitable foundation is he donated $300,000 to the University of Arizona in Tucson and $250,000 to the University of Arizona Foundation, which sounds really wonderful, but they're his employers. He basically made donations to fund his own salary. Gee, I wonder if they'll ever terminate him. He's basically paying himself. You know he's never going to be fired. Don't you agree, Simon? Would you fire someone who's giving you more money than you're paying him?
Oh, hell no.
This is the kind of creative accounting that lawyers and accountants get criticized for, right?
Yeah. There's a minor ethical issue in my mind.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
You know, from a lawyer's standpoint, we call it zero transparency. When a charity refuses to disclose its use of the money, generally it's a fraud or it spends far too much money on its directors, which means 10 cents on the dollar goes for the charity and 90% goes to the directors and its perks. Since he is the founder, director, and the name of the foundation of his, he controls who gets the money. And if you wonder where the money goes, Dr. Weil lives in a mansion with servants, unless he sold it recently.
11,000 square feet.
11,000 square foot mansion, 85 acres. He's got, according to an interview, he wanted to sell it because, oh, he was tired of having all these servants and employees running his house, and it's just too much effort. So, you know, and we all know the facts of life for the super wealthy. It probably costs him $25,000 to $50,000 a month to run this place. Who's paying for that? Well, patients are. The people who he gave advice to go to drugstore.com and buy their drugs are the ones who are paying for this. And the people who go to his site and pay him $600 a year for health advice are paying for this mansion. That's not contributing anything to charity, and it's not contributing anything to these people's lives.
The biggest concern to me is if the grandfathered in, which maybe you can explain what grandfathered in means, Manny Vitamins, could possibly now be totally no longer, we can no longer tell anybody, hey, these enzymes work, or this vitamin A really works, and I think that's where you're going next, right, with the alternative medicine?
Well, I was heading in that direction, and I want to make one last comment about Dr. Weil before we move there. This is my observation as a lawyer. He's living his life not as a professor of medicine, because God knows I know dozens of professors of medicine, including my own doctor who teaches at the University of Southern California.
Who is very open to, he will read anything, he will learn anything, he will use both. That's alternative and an excellent doctor.
But Dr. Weil isn't living that life. He's living the life of a CEO, much like the CEO of General Motors or Microsoft. He's living high and large, and much like the CEOs of those companies, he doesn't care about anybody. You know, but Ash is talking about grandfathering. Grandfathering is a general word, but it's a really one used by lawyers. It means that somewhere along the line, they pass a law, and the law changes the status of licensing or some rule. And because you were in that business before, they call it grandfathering, but it's really part of our Constitution. They're called ex post facto laws, which means you can't make a law afterwards to get rid of one of your rights. And a classic example in medicine is for years there were physicians who were known as osteopaths who took a different educational director direction MDs. Well, they wanted to put them out of business, so they passed a law against osteopathy and basically stopped it. But those doctors were already licensed by state license and the AMA, basically could not have their licenses revoked, so they were grandfathered in and still practiced medicine for others. In my youth, there were things called public accountants, which were different than CPAs. They were less than CPAs, and they passed a law, so they couldn't compete with accountants. And I'm not sure there's a public accountant still alive in the United States, but that whole profession died off. Osteopaths are dying off. So grandfathering means that our government cannot take it away from you.
I thought B6 was a great example.
Right. So what they did, here's the story. And the reason, well, B6 was, like all vitamins, grandfathered in under the FDA drug laws because they've been used for, you know, time immemorial, so to speak. Well, it was a company whose name slips my mind who invented this chemical they thought was going to help the human body. It was wonderful. It was a fabulous invention. But they found out what they invented was an element contained in natural B6.
So, but theirs was synthetic.
Theirs was synthetic.
They spent millions of dollars on it.
So they went to the FDA, and the FDA said, well, since they're, you know, basically spent billions of dollars or millions of dollars developing this product, we're going to have to give them a patent, and we're going to protect them. And guess what? You can't buy this product with B6 in it because, after all, it's now patented synthetically by this drug company, and they banned the sale of this drug, and they pursued such noted companies as Michael's Neuropathic in Dallas to make them stop selling these products because, after all, this company now had a patent on it. So when it suits the government, they'll cut off your grandfathered rights if it benefits someone in Big Pharma who spent a lot of money. And I hope that this is grandfathering in really plain terms for everybody. And if not, someone please get on the phone, and I'll do my very best to make it even simpler if I can.
But I thought that was essential, Manny, because you wanted to talk about how Andrew Weil did, you know, was forcing the naturopathic practices.
Well, we're going to get to that now. But Simon, doesn't it bother you that you may be taking a remedy all these years and the FDA suddenly says, oh, there's a synthetic one. You can't take that one anymore.
It bothers me greatly. In fact, the whole FDA bothers me greatly. I mean, in my mind, they are nothing but a mouthpiece for big food and big pharma.
I call them a puppet on a string, Simon.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what they are. You know?
Later on, I want to handle the FDA and soy. Wait till you hear that one.
While we're on that topic, let's talk about Andrew Weil. Here's a guy who claims he's into neuropathic stuff and alternative medicine, et cetera.
Naturopathic,
and all these other different things and herbs and everything. But he still pushes and hopes to eventually force all naturopathic practitioners to hold at least 4-year degrees and to be officially licensed. Officially licensed means they have to make, or I should say, comply with the AMA rules and be licensed by the state. And the last thing we want to do is have any state passing new laws requiring only doctors to sell vitamins and minerals. And these statements to me are made on behalf of the drug company because why? Because this happened in our society in the early 50s. With very little fanfare, basically the drug companies got a law passed that said only doctors could prescribe drugs. So all those pharmacists that you see in the old movies who used to make up little individual remedies, and Dr. Dantini talked about how his father mixed his own headache remedies and other things that people would come in and buy from the pharmacists.
Specific to the person.
And
they still did that in Europe.
Right, and this is still done in other countries like Europe. And they go, oh, Simon, you have this history of headaches. We'll make something that works specifically for you. So after that, you could only buy these drugs that were sold either by prescription or approved as over-the-counter drugs. Well, you see, those are all your big-selling, big pharma Bayers and all the rest of them. So now they want to control vitamins and minerals the same way. And
Dr. Weil is pushing this.
Yeah, so in simple terms, that means only licensed practitioners approved by the AMA, and licensed by the states could sell vitamins and minerals in health food stores. That would mean that all vitamins and minerals would require a prescription, or they would have to have a doctor or a licensed practitioner in a health store to send you a vitamin and mineral.
Which means that there would be control over the vitamins and minerals, and once again, they would be 100% synthetic, because that's what their whole push is, synthetic drugs.
So essentially, health stores would have to be under the control of a doctor. So you would need a doctor's appointment, you have to get a prescription, and go to an approved pharmacy to get your vitamins and minerals. And they would
You go to drugstore.com and
I guess that's where my mind went
look
to.
After you.
Perfect.
Well, you know, and
expand
by the way,
that mansion.
I went to answer your question earlier. Drugstore.com is owned by a Discovery Limited Partnership, which is an SEC filing. They're the primary shareholding, and they're publicly traded. But they also disclose their contracts with Big Pharma and the rest of them to sell their goods. So there's that unholy relationship between Big Pharma and drugstore.com that you would expect is the same between Rite Aid's gone. So Rite Aid or was it CVS? They all have these kind of contracts. So they're no different than any other major pharmacist chain across the United States. What bothers me, it would wipe out all these mom-and-pop vitamin stores, put people out of business. Look at I love Chinese herbs. There's a bunch that I take. I take one that's prevented me from having the flu for close to 20 years. I wouldn't be able to buy the Chinese herbs. You could only get those if you wanted to.
Except they try to ban several of them, red rice yeast.
I was going to go there. Red yeast rice, which keeps my cholesterol at 165 to 175, can be purchased in a health food store. It's been taken by Chinese populations since about 800 AD, 1,200 years. Children take this after every meals, and this is why they have little or no heart attacks in China. But under these rules, they would ban red rice yeast. Why do I know that? Or red yeast rice. Why do I know that? Because when they came up with Lipitor and all those drugs.
Crestor.
They got the FDA to ban red yeast rice, and it required lawsuits by groups to have red yeast rice returned to the shelves. So if they do it once, they do it to you again. And by the way, for those of you who do take Lipitor and Crestor, what happened is the drug companies went to China because they wanted to know why Chinese did not have heart problems like Americans.
And cholesterol.
And high cholesterol.
Right.
So
it's called McDonald's.
Right. But they found that they took this red yeast rice every day. So they brought the red yeast rice back to America. They analyzed in their labs, and they found the active ingredient was called lovastatin. Well, you notice the Lipitor and Crestor are called statin drugs. That's because they synthetically recreated what they thought was the active ingredient in the red yeast rice.
Now, the dot you just said, Manny, what they thought,
and
it's the same.
Right, it's not the same. There's several active ingredients in the natural herb that are missing, and the natural herb doesn't give you heart problems and cause heart attacks and other things.
Doesn't deteriorate the muscle.
And I know people have suffered severe muscle loss because of Lipitor and Crestor, and we had a friend who we felt it gave a heart attack. So they tell me he was a diabetic. They tell me he had to take this for life. And he said he was tired of it, so he went on our Manny's enzyme diet, and he started taking the natural enzymes. So Ash had counseled him and worked with him.
With his doctor.
Yeah, and he's still seeing his doctor, but the truth is he didn't want to tell his doctor or his girlfriend that he stopped taking Lipitor. So 8 months later, after having low cholesterol, 175, for 8 months, his doctor said, see, Lipitor really works. He felt so bad, he finally said, you know, doc, I haven't been taking it for 6 months. And the doctor said, well, you've got to go back and take it. The doctor didn't care that the red yeast rice stopped his high cholesterol.
Or that he had normal cholesterol, or that he no longer needed to be on 9 drugs.
And he was
no longer a diabetic.
So he went from 9 drugs to 1 drug, not being a diabetic, having low cholesterol. The doctor said, you still can't get off the drugs. And back to this gentleman's comment, they're basically drug dealers. So,
Yeah, although you must say that if anybody goes with the red yeast rice and works with their homeopathic doctor, they have to make sure that they tell them that they're on Lipitor, Crestor, because you can't take them together. They're the same. One's synthetic that your body can't handle, and the one is organic and natural.
Yes, isn't that something, that how they take anything natural? Because what amounts to is the law is you cannot patent a natural drug or herb. So every time they find a natural remedy, they have to immediately find a synthetic duplicate to sell it, because how would these companies like Merck, Pfizer, et cetera, sell red yeast rice when you can go buy it in any store? They couldn't make any money on it. And I would point out that 437 drugs on the market are synthetic enzymes. Simple Zantac, Nexium, all these that are designed to cut out your stomach acid, there are synthetic versions of natural enzymes you can buy for one-tenth the price and are far more effective than
the
synthetic.
Well, and the difference, too, is that one blocks the hydrochloric acid, which is necessary to break down the food and the nutrients that you put in your body. The other one is an organic enzyme that actually will naturally work with the hydrochloric acid and organically break down what's in your body so you can metabolize it. So the difference between a synthetic and a non-synthetic is day and night in your body, and your body knows the difference.
And let's come back to Dr. Weil now, because he wants all this controlled by the AMA and licensing. There's a very well-respected medical site called the Wise Health Report, who reports objectively, takes no money, no conflicts of interest. And I took this quote off of an article about Dr. Weil. They talk about how he wants to control alternative medicine. And it says, quote, "It would rest control of alternative medicine in the hands of the American Medical Association. If naturopathic and holistic healers were indeed required to be licensed by the same medical schools that teach orthodox medicine, it would constitute Dr. Weil's greatest gift to Big Pharma and to the AMA." And this isn't me talking. This isn't Ashley talking. This is an objective, highly respected, independent health report. So our feelings are pretty well supported by all these independent groups who look at him and say the same thing. And why? Because licensing means regulation, and you can bet your life that alternatives would be soon regulated out of existence. If the AMA and Big Pharma doesn't like red yeast rice, it's gone.
It's banned. You can't get it in the country.
Right. And cranberries, hey, they could be gone.
Cherries.
Yeah.
Oh, there was an article on the cherries.
The FDA considered banning cherries because people were eating boxes, you know, crates of, not crates, but, you know, the small boxes, several of them, to cure their gout. So, Simon, because I eat too many cherries for my gout, you're going to be barred for eating them forever. That's their mentality, right?
Right. And I mean, what are they going to do next? Ban the Twinkie bar?
Well,
yeah.
The Twinkie bar should be banned.
But
we're not going to go there today.
but Twinkies had the approval of Big Food. And for anybody who wants to murder the mayor of San Francisco, George Moscone, for example, they can always claim it's a defense to murder, because that's the famous Twinkie defense in California when this gentleman named Dan White murdered the mayor of San Francisco, and asked him, and he defended the case. He claimed that he was delirious on Twinkies and didn't know what he was doing. So just imagine a high school senior upset with his English teacher killing them and going, "Oh, it's the Twinkies, it was the Twinkies." Imagine how that would go over. So
I have a question if I'm still on.
Pardon?
Yes, You are still on. Please ask your question.
Jump in.
Yeah. I was wondering, everything you guys were talking about, have you heard of Senate Bill 510?
No, I don't. I recognize the number, but if you tell me what it's about, yes, we'll be able to respond to it.
I actually subscribe to a website. It's called naturalnews.com, and I get...
Yeah.
Yes, they're excellent.
We do, too.
Okay. And anyway, let's see, this was December 1st. They were talking about Senate Bill 510, and talking about how the FDA wants to regulate pretty much all raw foods and try to make even harder, like for raw milk, getting rid of kind of like raw dairy farmers.
Oh, yeah. We've actually, I apologize. We've signed a number of petitions and submitted them in opposition to it. And you know, one of the issues is they use something called RBGH, which is artificial growth hormone on dairy cows.
Probably know about, since you read about Nature News
right.
and stuff.
That are designed to make them produce 40% more milk, but also causes pus in the milk. And it's something that mothers pass on to children.
And they used to use huge antibiotics, as you know, to take care of the pus. And, of course, the FDA says, as you probably know, that 90% is taken care of when they homogenize or pasteurize the milk, but 10% of that pus is in your milk with antibiotics.
So, but the bigger issue is, why is this bill being offered? Because basically Big Food and Monsanto, let's be specific, they're the makers of RBGH. I mean, you can't...
I knew it was only a matter of time before Monsanto got a mention.
Well, listen, they're the Darth Vader of food. They went over to the dark side long ago, and they've never come back. But what happened is a lot of organic dairy started to produce product that says no RBGH in it. Well, they immediately tried to pass laws in states all over the United States that said that label was illegal. They actually was authorized by the head of the Pennsylvania's Board of Health, and the governor overrode them. But one state, Ohio, which never surprises me, Neanderthal, Ohio.
Well, that's where I'm from.
I know it is.
That's where I'm from.
And that's why I say it, because of my wife, I've spent more time in Ohio, which I relate to kind of a mongoloid prison.
Thank you.
And but very seriously, they passed a law which barred allowing any label that identified it as organic and not containing the synthetic growth hormone. And they had to be slapped down by a federal court telling them that both the manufacturer and the FDA were wrong, that there was a difference between organic milk and milk from dairy cows have been fed antibiotics and growth hormones, but the FDA still claimed it was, quote, nature identical. Nature identical, please.
Were you the caller? I'm sorry, what is your name?
My name's Chris. I actually am in Ohio right now.
Are you really, Chris? Thank you. We're in Ohio. Please beat my husband up. We're in Ohio, Chris.
Chris, you're a shining light in a very dark state.
Well, I'm sorry,
I'm
from Youngstown. Where were you from?
I'm from Springfield, but I currently go to school in Bowling Green right now. I'm in college. And
excellent.
Excellent school.
And I'm glad that you have this awareness as young as you are, because the more this information gets out there to the youth of America, the less the people will go through what my husband and I have been through. So, you know, 10, 20 years from now, you're not going to be sick because you will have taken care of these by your awareness, by going organic. And, you know, and if you have an opportunity to buy our books, do, because there's a lot of research material. There's over 3,000 research references that we've left in the books for people to read. I think one of the worst offenses to me is, a few weeks ago we talked about how here in California, they actually went into a place called Venice, California, and they went in guns a-blazing, and they removed the raw milk that was being sold in the market. Have you heard of that?
I haven't.
You might want to look it up under Venice, California. And it was amazing to me that they could sell milk that has pus in it. I'm sorry, that's a horrible thing, but you know, they're selling milk that has this plus the artificial chemicals and the antibiotics in it, and from cattle that are being fed GMO corn, and you know, dealing with BT toxin. I mean, there's all these toxins you're dealing with that are in our milks and our cheeses and our everyday food. Yet the FDA can come in and say, we want to ban raw milk. Does this make sense to you?
No, it doesn't.
It's illogical.
You know, having read Mike Adams, who's the founder of Natural News, who calls himself the health ranger for years, he really rails on this about once a month. It really bothers him and other people in the industry that we have time to raid health food stores with 8 or 10 people with guns, but we can't control the violence on our streets. But why are they attacking these stores? Obviously, Big Food is responsible. And I'm going to tell you a brief aside. One of my specialties when I was a lawyer was chasing fraud artists like Bernie Madoff. And I did the Muhammad Ali sports fraud and a whole variety of very famous ones. And one of them was the largest financial fraud in the United States before Bernie Madoff. And one of my experiences with all of this is what we call selective prosecution. And they pick people that they want to select, and these big companies influence the government on who they prosecute and who they persecute. So I would find in every one of those cases, whoever had the most money would not be sued and criticized, and all the mom and pops and other people would be sued in these bankruptcies. So basically, they look for the weakest person to attack. So in Venice, they found this little store that catered to people who only wanted healthy food, and they chose to sacrifice them on the altar of public relations and get them on the news. So why would all the networks in Los Angeles, the second largest media market, if you combine all of Southern California, it's a much larger media market than New York City, and have all the press show up to close down this small store with about 4 employees? Why? Because Big Pharma and Big Food have enough money and spend enough money on TV commercials. If you watch the nightly news, it's all drug products sold, and they can get the police to show up, and they can get everyone else to show up. I had a case where I had a guy who stole $20 million from senior citizens, and they wouldn't prosecute him.
People lost their homes. It
Everything.
Was the saddest thing.
So the FBI agent and I were pretty close. We worked on other cases, and I said to her one day, you know, why can't we get this guy prosecuted? And she looked at me with great frustration because she caught this guy with $20 million in forged bearer bonds in a hotel, and they wouldn't prosecute him. She said to me, you know, Manny, we can arrest him, but we can't prosecute him. Someone else has to do it. Finally, after I looked at every alternative, I told General Motors that he used a phony Social Security number and someone else's ID to gain leases to his cars. And GM said, we don't care, he's paying them on time. Well, I succeeded in cutting him off with money and putting him on the edge of bankruptcy, and he couldn't make his payments to General Motors. And guess what? General Motors went to the DA and complained that he basically lied and committed fraud by leasing his cars with a phony Social Security number, and they prosecuted him and sent him to jail. But I couldn't get them to prosecute him for stealing $20 million from senior citizens. That
wow.
is one of our biggest problems.
That's why the feds never going to get prosecuted either.
Right, absolutely. You know, basically money talks and everyone else gets prosecuted. It's very sad. But it's poured over into our food and drugs.
What are you studying, Chris?
I'm in an aviation program, so professional pilot.
Hey, wonderful.
Excellent. My dad was in the Air Force.
In the Air Force, but I didn't get a pilot slot because of allergies, and that's kind of how I got on this course of natural health and stuff, because being a pilot, a civilian pilot, I couldn't take any drugs. You know, the FAA regulates lots of drugs that their pilots take, and, you know, having these symptoms and stuff, I tried to, you know, help my symptoms naturally, and I kind of got into that. My mom's actually a nurse, she kind of told me about some of the things that the medical community does, and it kind of just really made me disgusted by it.
But so do you know about genetically modified foods?
Absolutely, yeah.
And do you know about the soy and how it's a terrible allergen?
Yeah, soy. I like most of the population is allergic to soy, and then on top of that, they're doing genetically modified soy. So there's two types of soy. There's organic soy and GMO soy.
Both of them are bad, though. Both of them are causing problems with people.
Right.
That I'm now telling people, just don't eat anything with soy. And the problem is it's hidden in everything. So you may take a medicine, and that medicine will have soy in it, hidden under inert excipients. Vitamins have it in it. Do you know this? And also, same with corn. Corn is in everything. Dr. Dantini, when he was on, was talking about how they've actually put corn into the intravenous solutions. It's in everything. So those are two of the largest allergens, because as you you, if you know this, stop me, how you repeat something over and over and you eat it every day, and a lot of the foods that we eat are identical except they change the flavoring.
Simon, you sounded like you wanted to jump in there for a little while.
Actually, I'm curious, Chris. You want to become a pilot. I have two people you just have to meet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, they're scary beyond scary.
So why should he meet them if they're scary?
I mean, but please do drop me an email. I'd love to talk to you about piloting, and maybe we can have you on a future program.
That would be great. And also, one of the things that I discovered with the use of enzymes, they help tremendously with allergies, because it helps the body to process and to utilize and get rid of the toxins. So you may want to check into the enzymes, which, again, is part of our books. And no, I'm not just doing it to say that to sell the books. I'm saying it because this really is an effective means.
But actually, it's a great segue. Where can people buy your books?
Well, our books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, our own website, howtoeliminatepain.com, and it's available if anyone's listening in Europe, it's available on all the foreign Amazons, 39 different book distributors across the world, and they are arthritis, inflammation, gout, Crohn's, IBD, IBS, and Manny's enzyme, diet and enzyme formula. But in 2 weeks, our latest book on obesity, It's Not Your Fault, will come out and explain why teenagers and everybody are suffering from obesity in this world. And that represents 7 years of research and thousands of articles to explain why we have an overweight society. And again, we're getting back to the same subject Chris brought up, all the garbage in the food that is chemically addicting. So big food has become as much of a drug dealer as have other groups such as
Big Pharma.
Big Pharma, Pablo Escobar, all the other ones. There's very little that separates drug dealers from
psychiatry.
Psychiatry, yes. Because
this is a terrible, the allergy, Chris, some of the story. I was at, I love running to, when I go to the stores, I like the little tasters. And before I taste anything, I ask a lot of questions, because I can't even believe what people say. And I love to look at the boxes and the 50 ingredients. It's like, no way. But this one woman said to me over at Trader Joe's yesterday after the show, she said that her sister had terrible allergies, and she couldn't find anybody to help her, and she was struggling and couldn't understand the allergies. And, of course, I gave her some referrals to medical doctors as well as her books. And I said, so what are the doctors doing? And her response was, well, she's now on antidepressants, so she's seeing a psychiatrist.
Wow.
So they're treating her allergy by sending her to a psychiatrist.
She just needs a Hungry Man dinner. She'd be fine.
There you go. That would definitely do her in. It's really, you know, it's the misinformation.
Yeah. Well, Simon, I'm looking at the time. Is there anything you want to say to us all here?
Well, I'm having so much fun. I'm not sure I want to break the flow, but maybe I will. I think it would be remiss of me to not mention high fructose corn syrup. I mean, it is one of my favorite subjects. You know, right up there with natural flavors. As some listeners might know, I've been a bit grumpy of late on the subject. I finally heard back from Hunt's Ketchup, part of the ConAgra world, and they are now selling a ketchup that has this big label saying no high fructose corn syrup. So about 3 weeks ago, I contacted their press department, and they got back to me yesterday. They were very friendly people, you know. and they said, look, if you send us some questions, I'll get them turned around right away. So the questions I sent were, based on the press release, would it be accurate to say that there was no scientific data that caused the dropping of high fructose corn syrup? It was just user feedback. Their response was, more than ever, consumers are interested in products with simpler ingredient lists and ingredients they easily recognize. They express a preference for food items that are natural or made with ingredients they may have at home. And we're listening and providing consumers with what they want. An entire line of ketchup that is 100% natural with 0% high fructose corn syrup and 0% corn syrup. The removal of HFCS from Hunt's ketchup was in direct response to consumer requests. Okay, so they blew me off. My second question was, do either Hunt's or ConAgra have a position on HFCS other than user feedback? We are looking for ways to have simpler ingredients, things consumers would have in their kitchens across our portfolio. For example, our healthy choice, all natural entrees use honey and sugar. So we don't have any plans to change to sugar across our portfolio at this point, but are always monitoring to understand emerging trends. Okay, so that's it, folks. You know, why aren't you using high fructose corn syrup? Well, we're just not going to talk to the likes of you.
Oh, my gosh. You know what gets me, Simon, is the fact that they should just admit, well, we've actually been forced to look at the studies of the GMO studies to see there's a reason that GMO is banned in Europe and in Japan.
Well, you know, but I want to compliment them for at least doing it.
Yes,
I mean,
I do. Absolutely compliment. You're right.
They truthfully, and I understand them, they don't want to offend their corporate partners. Okay, I understand that too. That's business, because they have to do business with everybody in the industry, because after all, they're so incestuous. I bet they have a dozen deals with Monsanto and all these other people. So,
but then my question becomes, Manny, what's the sugar? Is this again refined sugar with anti-caking agents that they fail to tell you about that has aluminum in it?
No, that's the big question, and you and I have asked this question the last couple of days. They took it out, but what did they really put in? And in light of the fact that there's been so much dishonesty by these companies, I don't know that I'm willing to just accept their statement on face value. While I appreciate they're trying very hard, but is that just a public relations thing, or did they really seriously change their product in a positive way? And I say that because while they talked about what was the healthy choice meals, well, you know, we've been ready to do a health show about what's in those, and they're really no different than non-diet food.
Oh, yes, they are. They have a different flavoring.
They have a different flavor. But
flavoring.
Flavoring. What they do is they use synthetic substitutes, and for a long time they were hiding everything in the high fructose corn syrup.
And MSG.
And MSG, and now they say they're not using it. So, okay, how do you make this diet food without it? And I'm very curious. So while I compliment them on taking a giant step forward, I just hope that doesn't include a giant step back.
And with that, I really need to wrap the program up. We're flat out of time. Manny, do you have any parting words of wisdom for us this week?
Well, I don't know if they're words of wisdom, but I'm thankful for these callers, because it reassures Ash and I that people feel the same way that we do, that there is concerned as we are, I compliment Chris and the young lady who is making an effort to provide organics in her area of Mississippi. I think this is a wonderful step forward. And remember, there's strength in numbers. And if we band together and we take a step, other companies like ConAgra will follow suit.
And people like Dr. Wheel will be exposed.
Right. And in the, along the process, we can make a positive change to the quality of food and medicine in our country. And that's our goal.
And Ashley?
One of the things I wanted to suggest, Chris, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Oh, you are? Okay. One of the doctors we had on is a medical doctor who's done 30 years of research in allergies, is a Dr. Dantini. And if you write to Simon, he will send you the information, and I think that might be somebody you want to contact. He's
well,
in Florida.
Google Sage Laboratories, Medical Laboratories in Florida. Dr. Dantini offers a state-of-the-art test that would help you determine what you're sensitive to.
And he was from Pittsburgh. He trained in Pittsburgh, and he also worked with Dr. Randolph briefly, which he and I had connections because of that.
One of the things
I wanted to get to, Simon, quickly was I wanted to get back to Jamie in Arizona, which we didn't get to. So next week maybe we can cover the thyroid and problems with soy and what it causes, and deal with soy, thyroid, and B12 next week.
Right. Yes, let's do that. And Chris, if you need my email address, it is zzsimonb@gmail.com, or just go to bloggernews.net, and there's a big black box on the right-hand side that says Writers Wanted. If you click on that, the email will come directly to me. I want to thank everyone for listening and taking part in today's program. I, for one, had a wonderful time. I'll just bet that our names will be mentioned around the water cooler on Monday morning. Till next week, I wish everyone a great week. We'll talk to you again soon. Goodbye.